unseen, yet closer than we think. Thank you that you see, you hear, and you have compassion. You are drawn to us in our weakness and our need. You are full of mercy, compassion, and faithfulness. And you are humble. You are humble at heart. You do not mind to step out of your glory and into our mess. And so we come to you this morning, God, and ask you, Lord, to step into our lives, into our challenges, our realities. Lord, we pray, Lord, we ask for your grace. Help us, Lord, we ask. We thank you for this. As we come to you, Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to us through your word, Lord. May guide us, Lord. Lead us. We, your servants, are here. Speak, Lord. We want to follow you. Lead us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. For those who had a holiday break, welcome back. For those of you that are still having a holiday, lucky you. And for those who couldn't have either, your turn will also come. Hopefully in this life. But nevertheless, we are here and we're going to continue just hearing God's voice. I want to share in the context of Pastor Victor sharing with us about their hardship, I want to share around the God who comforts us in our suffering. I was just reading 2 Corinthians 1 and thought it would be a great introduction, and it ended up being the sermon. And of these 8 verses, there's 7 principles. There are actually more principles. I just wrote down the first 7 and realized, look, if I go on now. But it is the second service. But I had to stop at 7 because of the first service. But you are at the second service. Now I'll stick to the 7. The Word of God is just so rich. There's just so much. And I want to share 7 principles of how to face our suffering and hardship in life. And each one of these principles can be a sermon on its own. And it's so difficult for me just to move on from one to the next. But I thought to share 7. I want to encourage you to at least take one of these principles that stand out for you and really meditate upon it and study it at home and ask the Lord to speak to you through it. We all live in a fallen world, and therefore we will all face hardship and suffering to one degree or another in this life. And not just once, many times. And sometimes we're going to face hardship because of the sin of others towards us. Sometimes we're going to face hardship because of our own decisions, our own sin. Sometimes we're going to face hardship because of the devil. Sometimes we're going to face hardship because we live in a broken, fallen world. And sometimes we're going to face hardship because of the Lord who disciplines us. But I want to share 7 principles to apply when we face hardship and suffering. The first, I want to start off with 2 Corinthians 13, verse 3, that first verse that said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort." I think this is probably the first and most important principle in facing hardship is that there is a God, and this God is good. God is good. God is good all the time. He is perfect in all His ways. He is light and there's no darkness in Him at all. But He is also the God of mercy, the God of comfort. It's such an amazing attribute of His character, His personality. God is compassionate, merciful, and He's drawn to our weakness and suffering. And He gives comfort. God gives comfort. It is so encouraging to know that when we are going through suffering, we are not alone. And that God is with us. Psalm 100 verse 5 says, "The Lord is good. The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." God is good. God is merciful. God is faithful. And when we go through suffering, know this, that God is good. God is not evil. God is light and there's no darkness in Him at all. And all His ways are perfect. And when I go through suffering and I remind myself that my God is good and perfect, the rest of His promises is built on my faith in His goodness, faithfulness. And therefore we can hold on to His word, like Romans 8, we know so well, verse 28, and we know that all things God works for the good for those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. Because my God is a good God, I also know that He, no matter what I'm facing here, He will turn it for my good. God is almighty, all-powerful, and He's good. And He says, if I love Him and called according to His purpose, He will turn this hardship for my good. And it's a great encouragement when I face hardship, knowing this truth about God. And then secondly, another example is 1 Corinthians 10. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, He will also provide a way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. What amazing promises. Whenever I face hardship, I know God controls the extent of this suffering in my life. This hardship, God controls it. He will not allow it to be beyond what I'm able. But with this hardship, He will also make a way of escape that I may be able to endure it. It's great to settle it in our hearts before we face hardship. Because when we're in it, our emotions fail us. Our strength fails us. Sometimes even our faith fails us. But this God promises. So settle it in your hearts before you face your hardship. But God is faithful. Whatever I'm facing, whether it's my own fault, my own sin, or somebody else's sin against me, whether it's the devil, God will not allow me to face hardship beyond what I'm able. He will give me a way of escape that I will be able to endure it. And He will turn it for my good. He will turn this for my good. You know, it's amazing to know that I belong to God. He bought my life. He redeemed me. He made me His own. My life is in His hand. My life is in His hand. No matter what I face, my life is in His hand. Not even a single bird out there falls to the ground apart from His will. And I am of far more value. He gave His life for me. So when I face my storms and my hardship, this gives me great comfort. It's going to be okay. I don't know who of you are sailors. You know, I'm a landlogger. I don't. Sometimes when these guys go out at sea, a member took me on a catamaran. Hallelujah. They only work at the wind, you know, when the wind blows, because there's no engine. So I don't know what I was thinking. I thought, yo, please, I want to go with. Yeah, he took me with. It wasn't a calm day. The wind was I was howling out there. The waves was massive, but the boat was flying. He was enjoying himself. Thank the Lord, I was wet before I got on the boat. And everything was wet the whole time, so it was fine, because I think I did wet myself. Because of the waves, I was thinking, we're going to die. And he's enjoying himself. At least I had this great comfort, seeing he's not panicking. He's enjoying himself. So I was just holding on for dear life. Lord, if I fall here, I'm going to die. But no matter the storm that we face in life, I know this. God is steering this boat. My life is His. And He's a good God. There's no shadow of turning in Him. He's been faithful forever. And He will be faithful forever. It brings me to the second point. God comforts us in all our affliction. God is the comforter in all affliction. No matter what you face, God is there, but He's also there to comfort us. It's one thing to know that God is in my boat. It's another thing to know that I can actually go to Him for comfort. Hey, when I'm afraid, I can go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I am afraid. And sometimes even in our weakness, we might even say, do you not care that we are about to drown? We have this privilege to go to God in the midst of our storm for comfort. Speak to me, Lord. I need you to say something now. Because I am afraid. He is the God of all comfort in all our need, in all our affliction. That's 2 Corinthians 1 verse 4. Who comforts us in all our affliction, in any affliction. The character of God, one of the aspects that I mentioned before, is His compassion. God is not offended by our weakness. He's not offended by our brokenness. He's drawn to it. God is drawn to weakness and brokenness. He has compassion. He sees, He notices, and he wants to be there for you and me. He's a God of mercy and grace. God is merciful. I'm broken. I'm sinful at times. And God is a God of mercy. He's just, He's holy, He's awesome. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an holy God. But at the same time, He is merciful. He's merciful. He does not give us what we deserve. That's mercy. He's merciful. He's a merciful God. And even though I'm guilty, I can call out to Him because I know He's merciful. And then He's full of grace. He gives me more than what I deserve. That is what grace is. Mercy is not getting what I deserve, and grace is getting more than what I deserve. Because He loves me. He loves me. It gives us great comfort. Like Hebrews 4 says about God, about something about His character that gives us great confidence in the midst of our storms and our suffering and our weakness and our crying out to God. This is amazing about God. For we do not have an high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Isn't that powerful? We not just have a God who is compassionate, we have a God who actually became one of us, who lived amongst us, became weak like us, and was tempted and suffered like us. He not only sees, He knows. He knows what it feels like. He knows what it feels like to be betrayed, to suffer. He knows. What great confidence we have to go to a God who not just sees but understands what it feels like. And so we can have confidence to ask for mercy and grace because He knows. He's been through it Himself. We have a God who is a friend, a Lord, and our God who understands. And therefore, He gives comfort like no man can. God's comfort is complete. You know, I often have to step into brokenness and pain and suffering and give words of comfort. When a mother loses a child, or a grandfather loses a grandchild, you know, what comfort can I bring you? But to point you to Jesus. He understands. And His words, my words cannot heal you. But I know the one who can. He can heal your pain. He can bring your comfort like I cannot. And so, I have great confidence. Not in myself to stand into pain, but who God is. Because I know He can. You just need to push through. Like the woman that suffered with bleeding that nobody could help. You just need to push through the crowd. If you can just touch Jesus, He can make you whole. He's the one that can do what we cannot do. He can turn your sorrow into dancing. Like David writes in Psalm 30, verse 11, "You have turned for me. You have turned for me my sorrow into dancing. You have put my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent, O Lord my God, I give thanks to you forever." In our times of brokenness, know that God is good. He's compassionate. He understands and sees. And if you can just push through and find Him, you too will be healed. You will find healing. He will bind up your wounds. And in time, He will turn your sorrow into dancing. That brings me to the third point, this comfort that we receive from God and only from Him, we receive it that we may be able to comfort others also. And so as we go through our hardship and suffering and we receive comfort, it is to comfort others also. Like 2 Corinthians 1 verse 4 says, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. And so not only will God heal you, restore to you, He will enable you to be a vessel of comfort to others. The comfort we receive not only gives us empathy and compassion, but also love and care for others who are suffering. And I really want to commend this church for doing just that. When you see others suffering in their loss, in their need, and their sickness, how so many of you reach out and love and support and care and bring food. And I'm just so privileged to be part of a community that loves their own in their time of weakness and brokenness and need. Thank you. Thank you for caring and loving. It is the purpose of God's comfort in our life, is so that we can comfort others. It is the purpose of God's love in our life, is so that we can be transformed by it to become like it, and loving others in the same way He loves us. That is the Jesus, John 13, the new commandment. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. 1 John 4, just the previous verse says, previous slide, sorry, says, can you actually go back? Yes, you can. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. The whole purpose of love and loving us is to be changed by love so that we can love others. And through loving others the way God loves us, people will see God, experience God, through that same comfort and compassion and love that we have received. It brings me to the fourth principle, that as we share in Christ's sufferings, we also share in Christ's comfort. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 5 says, for as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. There is a blessing in suffering for good. There is a blessing for suffering for good. We read of Jesus teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 10 to 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you suffer for good. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, there is a blessing in suffering for good. It's the upside down kingdom. Sometimes it's good to settle in our hearts, because sometimes we suffer for doing good and we say, God, it is so unfair. Where are you? And God says, blessed are you. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because great is your reward. What a powerful mindset to have when you face suffering. What a powerful mindset. Eternal mindset. Romans 8 verse 17 says, but now if we are children, then heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His suffering, in order that we may also share in His glory. For I consider that the present suffering are worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. An eternal mindset. You know, that this is a powerful mindset Christians have when we face suffering that enables us to endure it and overcome it. This great hope that we have of eternal reward. It's a powerful mindset that inoculates us against offense, gives us hope, patience, and great endurance when facing hardship in this life. I remember when one of my daughters, I think it was Janine, when she got, I think in primary school, you know, when the first team gets capped or something, I can't remember whether it's capped or a serpi of its, but you know, and then there was always a guest speaker, you know, some guy, and I remember this guy, he was talking about, he was a coach, I can't remember, it's a long time ago. He was of some of these, I don't know, was it Paul Roos of Parel Gym of een van high school, you know, een van high school. But anyway, he was in the school that always lost. Their team always lost against the other great school. And the other great school that always beats them were very confident and made use of their reputation to intimidate the opponents. And they were skilled in intimidation, and they would often play dirty, and they would, like when nobody looks, gives you an elbow or trip you or say something nasty, and really to intimidate the opponents, and it was part of their strategy to win. It clearly worked. And so the coach, knowing this, was preparing his team for this, and he came up with this great idea. He said, listen, yeah, I want you to think of yourself wearing a backpack. And every time somebody fouls you or say something nasty, you must scream, Punta! You get a point for every foul you receive. Every time somebody says something bad towards you in the game, you get a point. And then when it's halftime, we'll unpack our bags and see who has the most points. So every time you get fouled, you must just scream, Punta! And then the whole team must respond, Punta! And then we look at the end of the game, who has the most points, and they get a prize. What a powerful mindset. It's an eternal mindset. Like every time I suffer for doing good, Punta. Because that's what God says. Rejoice and be exceedingly grateful. Great will be your reward in heaven. So it's a great mindset to have when you face suffering for doing good. Punta. There's no Punta when you suffer for doing something bad, however. Sorry. But there is Punta for when you suffer for doing good. Powerful mindset. Brings me to the next point. Patience in suffering. Patience, endurance. Let me just check. Why am I here? Yeah, that is where I'm meant to be. Point number 5. How to overcome suffering. How to face your storm. One of these principles that God teaches us is when we go through hardship and suffering, we need endurance. We need patience. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 6 says, when you patiently endure the same suffering that we suffer. 1 Peter 2 verse 19 to 23 says it this way, for it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God, and to this you were called. Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. And when he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. What a powerful mindset. Endurance is one of the keys to overcoming suffering. We need endurance. You can, if you want to overcome hardship, you need endurance. I know when we face our challenges in life, the first thing that we do is to ask God to still our storms. And most sermons are preached like that. Lord, please still my storm. Although most sermons are about stilling the storms, most teachings of the Bible is about enduring them and overcoming them. But it's not a very popular message to say, hey, guess what, guys? You're all going to suffer. But here's the good news. God's going to give you the strength and grace to endure it and overcome it. And He's going to turn it for your good because you will be stronger at the end of it. That's not a popular message, is it? But it is the reality, and what a powerful mindset it is. Yes, whenever we face our storms, we'll get there. We ask God to still it, but if He doesn't still the storm, don't panic. He's going to turn it for your good. You need endurance and patience. So the first thing I do is I ask, Lord, still my storm, and if it's not, then I say, okay, God, give me the strength to face it. Give me endurance. You can ask any endurance athlete. They understand this concept. You need to endure the suffering to get the gain of training. You need to endure suffering to gain and to run the race. Not just for the training of the race, but to run the race, you need endurance. And so God wants to give us endurance to overcome. I was an endurance athlete. I'm no longer one. But I used to do endurance sport. I used to do stage racing, epic Transalp 7 days. You know, all these stage races. So you are suffering for 7 days. Pain is my friend. I know him well. Suffering is part of the joy of competing. The training and the racing. And then I remember this one race, the Attaquas. Some of you might know if you do mountain bike. It's a one-day race. It's only one day. It's not 7 days. It's just one day, 120 Ks. I was not fit. I was unfit, and I made the mistake to race this race. Because, hey, it's only one day of suffering. That's nothing. I'm used to seven. That's one day. I can do this. Yeah. Mistake number one. Too much confidence in myself. And so I was racing this race, and at one stage I was just in so much pain and suffering. It's from Oudtshoorn to George in the heat, unfit. And I'm dying here. I'm in pain. And I remember I was lying under a tree, and I was asking myself, I'm a cyclist. I was lying under a tree while everybody's passing me. It's very embarrassing. And I'm asking myself, why am I doing this? I was contemplating giving up. Because why am I doing this? And then all of a sudden it came to me. It wasn't an angel. It wasn't Elijah. It just simply came to me. The reason you're doing this is to finish the race. And I'm just like, yo. It's to finish the race. I must get up on my bike and I must finish the race. I didn't enter it to win anyway. I didn't enter it to win. I just entered it to finish. And here I am. I'm suffering and I'm thinking, why am I doing this? And well, you're doing it to finish it. And so I got on my bike and I finished it. Panda! And God turned it for my good to break my ego and my pride. And I will never again enter a race unless I'm fit. But sometimes in our greatest suffering, we learn our greatest lessons. I remember my first mountain bike race, I came in last. I was so last, they were already packing up the finishing banner. That's how last I came. But the officials were all waiting for me. I thought they were waiting for me because they had to, because, hey, you know, you got to wait for the last guy, and this last guy just doesn't want to give up. So finally I got by there, and you know what? They came to me and they congratulated me for being last. And they gave me a prize. They gave me a cap. It was my favorite cap. It was like Wheeler. If you're an old mountain biker, I don't know if you remember that brand, Wheeler. I had a Wheeler bike. I got a Wheeler cap. It was just like so amazing. I got a Wheeler cap, one of my prized possessions for coming last. Amazing. Jesus said, many who are last will be first. Romans 8 put it this way. Oh, Romans 5, verse 3 to 5. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. You know what? When we face our storms, we can endure it because of the joy that is set before us. Remember last Sunday? The joy that is set before us. We endure the cross, despising the shame. And so the source of our endurance is not ourselves, but our faith in God. Our faith in His promises, our faith in His presence, His mercy and His grace, and that I belong to Him and I'm safe in His hand, and He will not allow me to be tempted beyond what I'm able. He will also give me a way of escape that I'm able to endure over it. This is not just commendable, but we are called to this. We are not called that all our storms will be stilled. We are called to face our storms and overcome it. Not by our own strength, but His strength. That's why Paul says, I can do all things through Christ to strengthen me. When Paul pleaded God to set him free from the thorn in his flesh, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul said, when I realize that, I'll boast in my infirmities and my troubles and my strengths. Because when I'm weak, I've discovered that I'm strong, not in my own strength, but in His strength. And that reflects back on point number one, God is good. And all His ways are perfect. Brings us to the next point, point number six. We do not rely on ourselves, but on God. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 9 says, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Did I actually read that first portion of Scripture? Why am I doubting on myself? But anyway, verse 9 says, in our suffering and hardship, we do not look to ourselves for the strength, because it is there where we fail. We often fail in hardship and suffering, in our own emotions, in our own strength, in our own capacity. But it's at those moments of weakness we can turn to God and ask Him for grace. We do not look to ourselves, but we look to God. In our suffering and hardship, we turn to God in faith, humility, and submission. Even if we suffer because of our own mistakes, we can turn to God to ask forgiveness, to repent, but also to allow Him to teach us His ways. You know, we have this great confidence. It doesn't matter why I am suffering. It It's almost like Pastor Victor said, you know, when the war breaks out, you don't ask why, you ask, how must I endure it? What must I do? It doesn't matter the reason. I have the same God being with me. Whether it's someone else's sin, the devil, or myself, I have great confidence to go to God, even if I suffer because of my own mistakes. Because He loves me. And He is my Father. And if I make a mistake, He will correct me. That's Hebrews 12 from verse 5 to 13. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens the one he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, and our parents were not perfect, and I am not a perfect father either. I have made mistakes as well in my discipline, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in His holiness, and He is perfect. No discipline seems pleasant at time, but painful. Later on, as time passes, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it, those who submit to His work. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Make level the path of your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather be healed. And sometimes we go through hardship because of our own wrong decisions. And God, as a good father, will discipline us to teach us and show us the right way. Because He loves us. Our earthly fathers tried in their imperfection, but God is good and perfect, and He loves us. Should we not submit to Him and live? God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Take courage, stand up, face the storm, and follow Jesus. No matter what storm you're facing, no matter the cause of it, stand up, take courage, face the storm, and look for Jesus. Look to His example and follow Him. That brings me to the last point, is the power of prayer. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 11. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Prayer initiates a heavenly response. That's why prayer is so important. James says, you do not have because you do not ask. When we pray, we create a response. And so when you go through your storm and your suffering, pray, ask God to deliver you from your storm. Ask God to still your storm. And if it doesn't, ask Him to give you grace to overcome it, to endure it and overcome it. But ask God. Involve God in your struggle, in your suffering. God knows, He understands. But prayer is not just for ourselves. Prayer is also for others. when we see others going through suffering and hardship, pray. Paul writes here and says, please pray for me. I am suffering. Paul wrote earlier on, we said he suffered so much that he wanted to die. If it wasn't for God's comfort. And so we can pray for our own comfort, but we can also pray for others' comfort. As Ephesians 6 verse 18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. You know, our greatest comfort is not human words. It's God's words. It's God's comfort. It's His presence. That we ourselves are comforted by God Himself. So always pray for that. As we pray for others, for their burdens to be lifted, please don't stop there. Please also pray that God's presence and comfort will be there in the midst of the burden and hardship. Because it is His presence and comfort that gives us more than deliverance. It gives us strength. It changes us for the good and teaches us to become overcomers. Because in the end, that is who Jesus was and still is. He overcame. He overcame the suffering of the cross, the shame. And He is seated at the right hand of God, and He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And He calls us to follow Him to be the same. And therefore we read in Revelations in the six churches every time, but He who overcomes, but He who overcomes, but He who overcomes. And so we are called to overcome. And so I want to encourage you with a mindset of not fearing your suffering, but facing it. Not in your own strength, but in His grace. And to ask God to help you, to comfort you in your pain and to strengthen you in your suffering, and to pray for others and be there for others. Because there are four things we need. In conclusion, we need faith in God's character. If you go through a trial, a tribulation, in suffering and hardship, first, you need faith in God's character. Second, you need God's presence, the Holy Spirit with you. Don't do it alone. Seek Him. Push through the crowd until you can touch God. You need, thirdly, you need God's Word. And fourthly, you need God's people. We need God's character, His presence, His Word, and His people. And you are part of that process. When we come alongside our brothers and sisters, pray for them, love them, and encourage them. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for leading us in faith to seek You in the midst of our suffering. Not just for our deliverance, but for grace. Lord, thank You that You are the God who comforts us in our loss, but You're also the God who strengthens us in our trials. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us here, Lord, that is going through a storm. We are facing hardship. Who are suffering loss. Lord, I pray for Your comfort today. Lord, I pray that You will meet each and every one where they are. in their pain, in their loss, in their lack, in their struggle. God, I pray that you will come alongside as a father. Lord, I pray that you will kiss the wounds. And say, it's okay. I'm with you. I know, I feel, I understand. It's going to be okay, my child. Daddy is here. It's okay to cry. Everything is okay. I'm with you here. For those of us, Lord, who's facing storms, we're afraid. We think we're going to die. Thank you, God, as a Father, you are with us and say, it's okay. I'm with you. You're not going to die. I will show you how to sail these winds, this storm. I'll show you how. Take courage, my son. I'm with you. Let me teach you how to face a storm and go through it. It's okay. If you can't do it, I'll give a way out. Put your faith and trust in me. Look at me. I will show you how. Lord, I pray that as we seek you in our pain and our hardship, give us the endurance to push through the crowd, to find you. Thank you when we do. You heal us. You strengthen us. You give us courage. And so if that is you this morning, if you're going through loss or facing a storm, I want you just to speak to the Lord. Just push through for a moment and ask him. Ask him for healing. Ask him for strength. Whatever you need, just ask him in your own words. Just where you are. Just speak to him. If you are in pain, if you are suffering, if you are facing a storm, and you need comfort, will you just quickly raise your hand, just where you're seated, just where you are. Would you just to raise your hand for a moment. I want everybody to open their eyes, and I want you to look at those hands, keep those hands up. If that is you, just quickly put up your hand. I want you to turn to those people if you're around somebody, and I want you to pray for them just where you are. Quickly look, who's the hands? Hands high up. Let's go to those people. If you sit around them, let's go around those who need some prayer, comfort, healing, strength, wisdom. It's God's ways. It's foolishness to us. But God has chosen us as vessels and vehicles. So let's come around each other. Let's pray for those who have need right now. Let's bring them before the Lord. There's a hand here. Right here. Achter you. Yeah. Well, are you stretching your hand or are you putting up your hand? You're stretching your hand. Oh, sorry. Is there anybody we're missing? Let's just pray for them. And for the rest of us who don't have somebody, let's bring them to the Lord. In your own words, let's just bring the other. Maybe you know of somebody in your family. You know somebody in the church. You know somebody in your community, in your workplace. We can call on God. It's called intercession. It means we come into God's presence on somebody else's behalf and we plead for them. So let's make use of this opportunity just where you are. Let's pray for someone else who has a need. Let's just pray in your own words. Let's bring them before the Lord. Father, we thank you for this invitation to ask you. To ask you. You often say, ask of me. Thank you, God, that we know we may. We may ask. We may ask every day. Every moment, we may ask. Thank you, God, that you do not get irritated if we ask you the same thing over and over. As a matter of fact, God, you say we should. Lord, help us to ask you, not just for our own needs, but for the needs around us. Thank you, God, that whenever we ask, you hear. And so grant us faith in prayer. Not just for ourselves, but for others. And thank you, God, that when we pray, you hear. And so, Lord, we ask that you will hear our prayers. We thank you for hearing us. And we pray, God. We pray that you will be glorified through every answer, yes or no, that you will be glorified. Give us grace, Lord, to face our storms and overcome it so that you will be glorified through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming. We'll be here in the front if you need some more prayer.